This is CIOY 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM. I'm Mary, and tonight my guest is Greg Keeler. Greg is a Canadian singer and songwriter and musician. He's known as a member in Blue Rodeo. He's released several of his own solo albums, played in a supergroup called The Unintended with members of the Sadies and Rick White. So he's my first guest so far that has not only a star on Canada's Walk of Fame, been inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, and has also been a recipient of the Order of Canada. So that's pretty impressive, Greg. Mainly, I just know you as a guy in denim.
Well, yeah, I don't really know the guy you introduced. I don't really know who that is, but it's a funny story.
It is. So you know what? Let's start off the show with a song of yours called Wonder. On April 16th of this year, you put out an album called Share the Love. So let's play the title track off that album, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
You're a wonder to behold. We were sitting on the stairs at the rickshaw, listening to the band through the wall. Eyes and smiles sparkle like the sound of a steel guitar. You come from a world where the stars are born, where meteors and comets collide, and dusty sings 3,000 miles an hour. So hard to believe. Your eyes like beams of emerald green, your lips like cherry wine, and the feathers on your body are a wonder to behold. You're a wonder to behold.
That was Wonder by Greg Keeler. He's joining me tonight on Dangerfield. So, Greg, on April of this year, 2 weeks ago, you put out an album called Share the Love. On the media tour that you've done so far, what's been the most interesting question that someone has asked you about the album?
Well, Tom Powers asked me, what did you learn? Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was a pretty interesting and cool question, because the record definitely was a learning process for me.
And here's a question for you. So you're at the stage now where you've put all this time and emotional energy into creating this piece of art. What do you want to ask the people who are now listening and taking in your songs? Is there anything that you're curious, or if you had a group of people in the room, like, what do you want to know about the people taking in the music?
See, I don't think I would ask them anything. You know, I think that when I play the record for somebody, it's just nice to hear their response and that's sort of okay for me, you know.
Like, are you curious? Like, when you record some songs, you obviously make decisions about different increments of a song, right? So,
yeah,
you'll do something, and then I don't know if you ever question parts of songs or anything, but so you're never curious what people think when they hear your music.
Well, you know, it's funny. I thought when you were asking at that time, I was just thinking of the band and their involvement in the music. And I was thinking that we made this studio record, and, you know, we took our time and we layered up the instruments and had great performances. And then we went over to Gore's Landing, and for 2 days we just set up and recorded and filmed everything. And I had no idea what that record was going to be. I thought that we were just doing promotional stuff. And so this record just sort of emerged, and it just had this great energy. And it was just such a pleasant surprise for everybody. So that, yeah, I really care about that. But I don't really think in terms of, you know, what the wider audience would be thinking.
I guess my question to you is, what song changed the most from the demo to the album that we have now?
Well, on the studio version, a lot of the jam outs were on mandolin. It was a much folkier. So, Feather Witch and What Am I Gonna Do Without You were more folky, almost sort of Fairport-y, and they end up being quite rocky on the Gore's Landing one. And that was the great surprise of it, you know. Like, I didn't know that the band was going to be rocking that hard, but they came to play.
Fairport unconventional, perhaps.
That's a good one.
And so, Greg, so let's listen to the song Share the Love next, and then we'll come back and we'll chat about it.
There's a dark in this soul, you got too close and it took its toll. Don't leave me now, I'll lose control. There's a darkness in this soul. Thank you.
in my head. I woke alone in your bed. You wanted me body and soul. I gave you that and so much more.
Is Share the Love by Greg Heeler. Greg, Share the Love. So in your life, you've actually done the musical soundtrack to a movie. And if this album, Share the Love, was a movie, like, what would it look like? Can you describe visually, like, what it would look like?
Yeah, I think I'd love it if Robert Frank could make the movie, and it'd be sort of those sort of landscapes, and it would be a, you know, sort of soundtracky to a. Do you know the movie Candy Mountain?
No, I don't think so.
It's a Robert Frank movie that he made about this kid going in search for a guitar, and he's in New York City. Uh-huh. And David Johansen is the manager of the bar that the kid's working in, and he he asked them to go up to Cape Breton and find a guitar for the special guitar maker up in Cape Breton. So the kid goes on this trip, and he meets all these guitar players along the way. He meets Tom Waits and John Urie and Dr. John, Mary Margaret's in it. It's really an amazing movie. And he gets up to Cape Breton. So that's sort of how I see the movie.
And do you have a song that, like, you're speaking there about someone kind of going through, you know, traveling through a space, meeting their heroes along the way. Do you have someone, so let's just say like the song we just heard, Share the Love. Like, if you had to pick a musical hero of yours to cover that song, who would it be?
Neil Young.
Okay. And what era of Neil Young would it be? Would it be like, there's so many to pick from, right? So what era?
Oh, it's any era is fine. As long as he plays harmonica on it, any era. It could be yesterday. I hope it's tomorrow, but
actually,
as long as he plays harmonica.
That would be really interesting. That would be really interesting to hear. Like play that song through all the different kind of genres of him. Cool. So here's a question. What do you write your lyrics down in? Is it a notebook? Is it scraps of paper?
It's notebooks. I have notebooks sort of all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sort of obsessed with notebooks.
Interesting. So when you were growing up, you were a football player.
More a hockey player. More a hockey player.
More a hockey player. And what position did you play?
I was a goalie.
Really? How important do you think the connection is between music and sport?
Well, the thing that pops into my head is that I guess there's a certain status to them. You know, like, Where I grew up in Montreal was a place called Tenement Royal. And my dad got transferred there in 1964. And so I'm fresh in this Tenement Royal place. And I go to the Catholic school, and I'm the new boy at school. And hockey was a big thing. And they had the PAC teams that played the inner city league. And so everybody tried out for the team, and if you made it, you were a TMR Eagle and you got the team jacket. And it was really quite a blast. And then with a band, there's sort of similar things, you know, a group of friends get together to do this thing, you know, to make music. And you commit to making music, and it's a great, because, you know, a great meaning to your life and great connections, the friendships that you make in the musical landscape. Or
when you think back to playing hockey, do you remember more the goals that you saved or the goals that you didn't?
Well, let's see. I think I remember the glory more than the misery. Being a goalie can be, there's great glorious moments of like, oh my God, that didn't go in, he stopped it. Uh-huh. And so that was always a great thing, you know, like that is glory. And also, I wish they did that. No, I don't. But I was going to say, I wish they did this in the bin. But everyone comes out and congratulates you after the game. Everybody taps you, gives you this, even if you played like shit, they come out and they go, oh, it's okay, you know. It's like, you know.
Do you mean the line on the ice of the players?
Yeah, everyone comes and goes, yeah, good game, buddy, yeah, way to go, yeah. Especially if you win, then they...
Hockey, I think you have people's rapt attention because you've got the arena stance, right? And so, speaking of arenas, what's your favorite one that you've ever played? Musically.
Favorite arena.
Holy Musically.
Cow. Well, I guess the first time, because of the hockey thing.
Yeah.
The first time we played the Montreal Forum was.
Okay.
That was quite a treat. And
right.
I was pretty jonesed about that. I seldom have I ever worn like a hockey jersey for right. But I did wear a Canadian sweater for that gig.
And who's your favorite player in hockey?
Well, there was a goalie that played for the Canadians mm-hmm. in the 60s named Gump Worsley. And he had the greatest style, and he had so many of those glory moments where he just shut it down. Mm-hmm. And he was he was my favorite. He had an amazing style, which I copied greatly.
So let's listen to your song called Black Feather, and then we'll come back and we're going to chat, Kim. Black Feather by Greg Keeler, who's joining me tonight on Dangerfield. So Greg, that song's really awesome. I listen to it a lot and it kind of never gets old. It's pretty interesting. And actually, so for those who want to find Greg Keeler's music, he's at gregkeeler.com or instagram.com/Greg Keeler Music. And last week you did an Instagram live where you perform that song acoustically. And it was a really beautiful exploration of something that people hadn't heard yet, because the song that's out now is the really energetic, rip-roaring version. And so I think it's always a nice window into the process when people get to hear kind of different sides of songs. What made that song kind of come alive to you when you were recording it at Gore's Landing?
Well, yeah, that song went through a lot of transformations. It started out as a country song. Jimmy Bosco and I made a country record, country folk sort of thing. That's on the shelf. That's a great record. But and it was sort of a folk song. It's sort of, the song is sort of describing a very low time of my life, like as low as I could go. And then something happens in your life and it all changes. And that's an amazing moment, you know, when you've been so low for so long and then bang. And, you know, Mary, you are a big part of the story. You introduced me to Kaylee Lundy and said I should hang out and get to know her. And I said, yeah, I'm going to. And so that ticked off a whole pile of dominoes. And so, yeah, we have this version now from Gore's Landing that's like really a great rockin' version. And dear listeners, Mary did the video, and it's a fantastic video. And dear listeners, if I may indulge, Mary did the artwork with her sister, Sharon, and it's really quite remarkable. They did it on the chalkboard in Sharon's kitchen. And yeah, it's really a beautiful cover, and it's really generated a lot of nice artwork for the promotion of the record. So thank you, Mary.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's such a great experience. So thank you for that. I think also too, like I think the biggest challenge is it's like I find it so interesting about having to kind of like visualize what I'm hearing, kind of, right? And I think that's like a challenge, but I think it's such a testament to sound, pretty much, and to the art that you created. What do you think makes music universal?
Oh boy. Well, you're asking what makes music universal. Mm-hmm. And it's an interior landscape that is universal. Like it's a landscape that we all share. And, you know, the styles and forms of music in themselves are universal. And so it's a deep, deep well that we all love to, you know, be in.
And are you someone who finds kind of music in just kind of everyday objects? So like, let's say you kind of, you know, close a door or like, you know, a glass hits another glass. Like, do you hear music in kind of everyday objects or?
You know, there are times when everything is music. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're, let's say you've been recording for 4 days in a row and your ears just sort of attuned to everything around you as somehow musical, and it all sort of contributes to the whole thing.
I guess here's a question. So when you write music, like how many kind of different iterations of a sound might the song go through? If you write a song, are you more often than not like, boom, that's it? or are you someone who kind of like tinkers away and kind of like a mad scientist and goes through all the different kind of increments within the song?
Oh yeah. Once the song starts coming together, uh-huh. I like to play them forever. I just like yeah. being in that landscape, you know, uh-huh. where you're just working stuff out. And you know what I've really been enjoying the last little while is having a few going at the same time that are uh-huh. sort of similar, and they all start blending in and out of each other. And it sort of drives you mad.
Yeah.
And then eventually they sort of, you know, become focused as separate songs. But I just love picking away on the guitar and trying to figure stuff out.
And how do you know when something's done? Do you have to have someone be like, Greg, it's done? Or do you come to that conclusion where you're like, okay, it's done?
Well, there's often times when a song just sort of says they're done.
Yeah.
And then there's times that even after they've been recorded, I'll change the way that they're played, you know, just.
And have you changed ever song titles to a song, or are they always the same?
They're all pretty much the same. They all get abbreviated on set lists.
Right.
They just become one word. But all the songs have sort of maintained their names.
And so, Greg, there's a cover that is on this album, Share the Love. Let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat about it.
Me and Mr. Horner hanging on a corner, not doing nothing to no one. When the squad car stops and out jump the cops, you're one of them if I ever saw one. Well, I wonder what I said when my face turned red. Up against the wall, said the tall one. That's a cute mustache, you got any hash? Wanna make a buy, said the small one. Well, I know it's all silly, but I'm staring at the billy, quietly asking myself, now Willie, heaves that thing, make my eardrums ring. It's all a bad dream, and I'm in South Philly. Yeah, tell me, Mr. Horner. Yeah, tell me, Mr. Horner. Me and Mr. Horner, Arizona, trying to hitch a ride to Denver. Went out of the cold, the state patrol pull over to check out my gender. Well, is it me or him or Tiny Tim? Up against the fence, said the dense one. Well, you picked a bad spot to smoke your pot. What you gonna do two against one? Well, I know it's all silly, but I'm staring at the billy, quietly asking myself, now Willie, use that thing, make my eardrums ring. It's all a bad dream, and I'm in South Philly. Yeah, tell me, Mr. Horner. Yeah, tell me, Mr. Horner. A movie. Tell me, what did I do? Yeah, I'm talking to you. You're a draft card burner if I ever saw one. I can tell by your looks you read too many books about war, cause you've never been in one. Well, I know it's all silly, but I'm staring at the billy, quietly asking myself, now Willie, use that thing, make my eardrums ring. It's all a bad dream, and I'm in stuff. Thank you.
That was me and Mr. Was me and Mr. by Bobby Darin, sung by Greg Keeler. So Greg, that was a cover that you put on this album. What brought this song to the album?
Well, Bobby Darin made two fantastic funky country records. Mm-hmm. After he lost the toupee and he had his little Airstream out in Malibu, he had his acoustic guitar and he was smoking a lot of weed, and he wrote the songs to these two records, and they really are fantastic records. He uses his original name, Bobby Costello. And
really?
And they're just great records. And so that record, that song, I just always loved it. And I don't know how it sort of surfaced, but it just felt right for some reason.
So here's a question. So the album that we're playing tonight, Share the Love, what song on the album would you say the music met the words, or what song did the words drive the music? I'm just trying to think of that kind of marriage between, like, you know, what comes first? I know people ask this question all the time, but was there a song where the instrumentation kind of had to meet the mood of the words that you'd written? Or was there a song where the words had to match the sound that you were making?
Well, there's a song, the first song on the record is called White Dove. Mm-hmm. And it's about when they were going to shut down Massey Hall for renovations. There was talk of Gordon Lightfoot and Blue Rodeo doing a double bill to shut it down, because Gord had played it 147 times and we were second at 37. So
what?
And so when I heard that, and I just thought about myself first playing an acoustic guitar in the Rocky Mountains out in Lake Louise, and how the arc of that life and the just the sound of a guitar and what it can do to you. And, you know, when I think of most of my friends are musicians, and a lot of them are guitar players. Mm-hmm. And we're just sort of addicted to the sound of those ringing strings. And we love the sound of a room full of ringing strings and people singing. And so the first song is just sort of looking back at me learning how to play guitar and the life that has sort of come from it. And just how there's a line in the song, the high and wild sound. And it's just, it's just a very satisfying place to be.
And do you remember the moment where you first kind of like dreamt about playing for a crowd or an audience, or kind of envisioned it?
Not really. I was a late starter. I didn't start playing guitar till I was like 20. And, but you know, I left Lake Louise and I sort of knew how to play guitar. And then I got a job on a Great Lakes freighter, the R. Bruce Angus.
Really?
And we left out of Toronto. And we were going down the Seaway, and we stopped in Three Rivers, and I went in and I bought a guitar. And I took it back to the boat, and I went into my room, my cabin, I guess, and I wrote a song. And I was, like, so amazed at what had happened. Like, I never experienced anything like that in my life before. And so I sort of knew that moment, you know, that this is what I have to do, and I have to live with people that do this sort of thing.
And was it matching something that was in your mind that you've been trying to express, or was it like creating something that you'd never even thought of before?
It was sort of never creating anything I had thought of before. I never knew that I had that in me. And it was such a overwhelming surprise. Like, it was just like, oh, this is, I like this.
And then how do you manage that balance of being kind of, not balanced, but just how do you manage the arc of creating without putting too much expectation or pressure on yourself, but letting it kind of happen versus kind of knowing what works maybe or what has worked? Like, how do you balance all of that kind of in your mind?
Well, it's funny. There's sometimes when I haven't been writing much, just sort of been through a blank phase. And when I go back to start writing songs, it's sort of hard. It's like, this hurts a bit. And it brings up things in my head that just sort of say that, you know, why are you bothering to write a song? Like, you're nowhere near as good as your heroes. And, you know, it's all been written, you know, why are you even bothering? And so I got to work through all that. And then eventually the song is sort of, you know, coaxed out somehow.
Yeah.
And that part of that process is just playing it over and over and over. As I say, I love the pastime.
Yeah, and then do you feel like, I mean, you were talking about kind of someone like Neil Young earlier, where like in the past people had more time to work things out, right? There was more kind of less pressure to have everything right away, right? And so do you think that this kind of urgency that's on maybe a younger generation now is conducive to more creativity, or is it a detriment to it?
I think creativity just sort of exists. Uh-huh. And it takes all the forms that it bubbles out of. And, you know, it just can't stop itself. And it'll be expressed in so many different ways by so many different people. You know, and very often you're using the images in terms of the culture or the cultural fiction that you're born into. And other people transcend that and give us new ways to communicate.
Yeah, that's interesting, because then I guess creativity of how we think of it, it's a merge of expression meeting interpretation or appreciation. And you're right, when it comes down to culture, there's those kind of magic moments where everything just fits, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite year of music that you took in life? Like, kind of, do you have like one or two years where you were like, oh, that was a great year? Of just being a listener and a fan of other music?
Well, God, there's a lot of those years, you know, but I think that of the most vivid memories for me are when I moved to Montreal in 64.
And how long were you there for?
We were there for about 10 years. But the music from, you know, my first couple of years in Montreal will always be deeply imprinted in my
mind. Yeah. And then what's your kind of, do you have pieces of songs that when you write that you just kind of hang on to, and then you you might be writing a song and you're like, oh, I have this in the archives, and you can bring it forward, or what's your songwriting process like in that sense?
Well, like I was saying earlier, it's sort of funny because I've got a few going right now, and they sort of slip and slide in and out of each other. Uh-huh. And so I sort of like that. There's always a piece hanging around from some song that you sort of discarded.
And how do you like to share works in progress? Are you someone that prefers to, you know, share it with people when you kind of feel like it's done, or do you like kind of collaboration as the song's being worked out?
You know, they all sort of work. Sometimes, you know, I like to have the song pretty deep inside of me, you know, when I bring it in. And then sometimes bringing something that's a little more loose and having everybody else sort of make it solid is a really good way too.
And have you ever just listened to one of your albums just like strictly instrumental?
Yeah, back in the day, you'd do the whole record without vocals, so that you'd have TV tracks for everything
first
that you could just play. So I always enjoyed that.
Ah.
You know, just talking about those. My favorite is one of those in that style is the Satanic Majesty, the Stones one.
Yeah,
on the deluxe one where it was just instrumental. That was like fantastic.
That has She's Like a Rainbow on it, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It's got that keyboard. Interesting. Cool. Well, let's listen to another song, Greg. Let's listen to Kaylee, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Very good.
When I of you in my bed last night with your head on my pillow. Well, it gets me high, makes me want to fly.
That was Kaylee by Greg Keeler, who's joining me tonight. Greg, that's a beautiful song. Who sings the harmonies on that?
That's James McKenty and Melissa Payne.
Beautiful. Gorgeous song. When you record music, what's the first way that you record it? Is it like, do you use like digital, like tape? Like what, how do you record?
Well, my favorite way to work is on a blaster. I like to sit with the blaster running as I play the song. And mm-hmm. I just sort of can just sort of let it go and see where it takes me. And then I can just go back and do a quick check and see what I like. And, you know, for a while, when I first put the studio in here, I would, as soon as I had sort of an idea for a song, I'd go upstairs and I'd start working on it. I'd start recording stuff. And I'd sort of lose the song a bit to trying to get too many parts on it, trying to make it too complete and sort of losing the song somehow. So for me, my favorite way still is to just set up with my blaster and start recording songs that way.
And do you have anything that you've found that you've forgotten about that you kind of like rediscovered years later?
Yeah, there's been a few of those. You go, oh my God, I don't know about that one. And that's always a real treat.
And so you mentioned the band that you recorded this album with. I'd like to just kind of go through the names of each of them. And I'm wondering if I say their name, if you can bear with me one thing that you love about each of them.
Good thing.
So we'll start with James McKenty. Can you share one thing you love about him?
One thing just limits me a little too much because I've been working with James as an engineer for 10 years here in the studio I have at home. And we've probably made 20 records together. And, you know, the great joy of making records and the intensity of the friendships that happen in that time. And just the great sharing of joy in making music with your friends. So James has been a big part of that for 10 years and just a great engineer and a great guitar player.
If there's one thing that you love about Glenn, what would it be?
Glenn can do just about anything you ask him to do. He is one of the most accomplished musicians I've ever met.
How about Ian?
Ian, he's a quiet man, but he just has so much such a wealth of musical information, and he's a great musician to have around when you're creating new music.
And Kyler?
Kyler is one of the best guitar players you're ever going to hear. He is a master of many styles and one of the funniest people to be hanging around with as well.
And Melissa?
Well, Melissa and I have made a couple of records together, and we're pretty tight. You know, she's got a great sense of humor, and she's a great musician, and she's a great friend.
And then Jimmy Bosco.
Well, Jimmy Boskill is like a musical miracle in my life. He is just such a generous and great guitar player that he allows me to bring music to a more focused place.
Cool. Well, Greg, I think I've taken up quite a bit of your time here. Why don't we close out the show with a song called Featherwitch? And I guess I just want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate
Yes, that was fun, Barry. I say that was fun. I enjoyed that. I'm actually working on some songs, so.
Listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.